obviously in America. Can you tell? He's here. And we met with him today, had a great meeting with him, and I felt led just to have him preach tonight. It's an honor to have him here. So, Dr. Cherian, God bless you, sir. We love you here.
Thank you, sir.
You preach for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Jenkins, and this wonderful church, your prayer and giving for the mission work there in the land of India. Thank you also for sponsoring the Summer Crusade. The last few years you have been doing it. Wonderful things are happening there. Yesterday, Pastor Harry Vickers and Dr. Jean Lastly came all the way to Oak Ridge and brought me over here. Once again, I want you to know that I greatly appreciate your prayer and your giving for the mission work in India. Last year, we had a summer thrust, summer evangelistic program. Of course, this church sponsored that cruise, that summer ministry. We sent out 190 young people in 19 teams, and the Lord saved over 2,000 souls. So you are not there physically, but through your prayer and giving, we are reaching the people with the gospel. Our newsletter just came out, and our brother Mullins, he just read through many times and he's asking me questions after questions, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to take any more time, but just bring a few thoughts from God's word tonight. How many of you truly believe the best is yet to come? I truly believe with all my heart, the best is yet to come for a child of God. All the gloom and the doom and all what is happening, in the midst of all of it, we can truly rejoice in our salvation. When it is all said and done, the Lord is going to take us to the place where He is. Now I would like to read Psalm 16. This is one of my favorite psalms. This psalm is an amazing psalm. Only a few verses are there. I'm going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Verse 5 to 8, you can notice there are five different things the psalmist is talking about. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Notice verse 10 and 11. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As I already mentioned, this psalm is a tremendous and wonderful psalm. I have given a title to my message tonight, Threefold Prescriptions for a Troubled Soul. Threefold Prescriptions for a Troubled Soul. I'll give you just a brief background of this psalm. In order to understand the background of this psalm, we need to read 1 Samuel chapter 26. You don't need to turn to that place. But David was going through difficult times. In the midst of all his problems, he did three things stands out in this psalm. That will be a tremendous help and a blessing to each one of us. In the midst of the problems, David remembered who God is. Number two, he rehearsed what God is doing for him. When he was going through difficult times, he pondered and thought through, this is what God is doing for me right now. Those we find, he said, in verse 5, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Second, he said, thou maintainest my lot. Number three, he says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Is it not amazing for us to think the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places? Number four, he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Number five, he says, I've set the Lord always before me. He is my confidence. Remember who God is. Rehearse what God is doing for you. And rejoice in what God will do for you. As we find that in verse 10 and 11, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Of course, that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. This ought to give us great joy in our own hearts. Now, as I already mentioned, the background of this psalm is given in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Before David assumed the kingship of Israel, he was mercilessly persecuted by Saul. Saul was after him. David had the opportunity to kill Saul two different occasions. The first one is at the cave in En-Gedi. He had an opportunity. The second one in the wilderness of Ziph, that we find in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 26. David was afraid of Saul and he thought, I'm going to get escaped into the wilderness. Saul came to know that he was hiding in the wilderness of Ziph. You know, I did some studies on the, turn to that 1 Samuel 26, if you will. Let me show you something in 1 Samuel chapter 26. The Ziphites. You know who the Ziphites are? They are actually the descendants of Judah. They are supposed to protect David. They did not do it. But they, on contrary, they came and told Saul, Saul, you want to get your enemy? He is in our wilderness. He is in our midst. Saul mobilized an army of 3,000 people to go and get him. In chapter 26, in the night, David and one of his soldiers by name Abishai went where Saul was sleeping. Then Abishai, the man who traveled with Saul, said in verse 11, this is what he said, go ahead and kill him. This is your opportunity. He is trying to take your life. But you know what David said in verse 11? The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water and let's go. He did not kill him. And David and Abishai, they left the scene. The next day morning, from the other side, he cried out to Abner, the bodyguard of Saul, and said, Abner, you did not watch your king. The enemy came to kill him. Where were you? Saul realized the voice of David and said, think in verse 21, then said Saul, I have sinned, return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, Because my soul was precious in thine eyes, this day, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. That's what Saul said. From that point on, Saul thought, now I'm not going to pursue him to kill or take vengeance. That's just the background of this particular psalm. You know, if you have in my Bible, it says a miktam. All scholars are not in agreement what miktam is. If you would read a commentary, some would say miktam is a musical pause. But Gesenius, one of the Hebrew scholars, he said, this is a poem, an excellent psalm. I don't know what miktam means, but maybe a musical poem. But let's remember, if we are going through difficult times, how this particular portion of God's word is going to help us. I often tell people, it is one thing to hear a message being preached, another thing to appropriate the truth in our own lives. Unless and until we appropriate, we apply the truth, it's not going to make any difference. But we need to apply what God's word says in our own situation, in our own lives. When we face difficulties, we think the end of the world has come. David could have thought the very similar thing. But notice this particular psalm starts with a prayer. Preserve me, O God. I believe with all my heart, everyone ought to pray that prayer every single day. Every time we go to bed, we ought to pray that prayer and say, Lord, preserve me. When we step out of the home, we need to pray that prayer and say, Lord, preserve me. That this particular word, preserve me, tells me David was in a great difficulties. Now he's crying out to God and say, Lord, you preserve me. Oh God. Who God is? The first three verses tells us who God is. If you carefully read, we find three different names of God is given there. God, Elohim, in the Hebrew language, Elohim. A short form of El is mentioned here. Then the second one is Yahweh. The third one is Adonai. In the midst of all the problems, David realized and said, preserve me, O God, O Elohim, you preserve me. When he mentioned that three names of God, he's telling, Lord, you are the creator. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 alone, 32 times the word Elohim is mentioned. The entire Bible, the word El or Elohim is mentioned 2,570 times. Friends, when we go through difficult times, remember who this great God is. By the breath of his mouth, the Elohim, the great Elohim, he brought the whole world into existence. Is there anything impossible with him? Your problems is not a great problem for God to solve. We think it is a great thing. Yes, many times we go through. David was going through difficult times. But he remembered who God is. A creator of the whole universe. Then he says, Lord, not only you are Elohim, you are Yahweh. That's the word Yahweh actually means the covenant-keeping God, the God of Revelation. The Hebrew people, they never pronounce that word because that word is Yahweh. Oh Lord, you are the covenant-keeping God. You will not disgrace your own promise. You will not go back from your promise. You already anointed me to be the king. You would keep that promise forever and ever. Then he says, Adonai. You know, if you read in your Bible the word Lord, the second time it is mentioned, it is in the lower case. Thou art my Lord, L-O-R-D, that's Adonai. That is to make a distinction or a difference between Yahweh and Adonai. Every time when you find the word Lord in smaller case, that is making a distinction between Yahweh and Adonai. That simply means, Lord, you are my Lord. So he put all these things together and said, O Lord, you are my Elohim, you are my Yahweh, you are my Adonai. Then he says, for in thee do I put my trust. There was a reason for him to pray that prayer and said, since I put my trust in you, Lord, you preserve me. Is it not amazing? Can you all understand me? Am I talking too fast? But I would like you to get this. Since David truly trusted in God, he prayed and said, Lord, you preserve me. Then he gives the reason why, Lord, you protect me, because I trust in you. Everyone who trusts in God, he protects them from the onslaughts and the attack of the enemies. When you go through difficult times, friends, remember who this great God is. The heathen, they cannot understand who this great God is. But you and I, we can understand who this great God is. He's an all-knowing and all-powerful God. Then he says, but the saints that are in the earth. Not only he remembered God, he also remembered the fellow believers whom God had given to him. In your distress, in your difficulties, when you go through difficult time, you could call your friends whom you can trust and say, hey, I am going through a difficult time. Could you kindly pray with me? Could you kindly give me some counsels, some advice, what I supposed to do? That's what exactly the psalmist did. At this time, he might have been thinking about Jonathan who made a covenant with him. Or he might have been thinking about Abishai, the soldier who went to the camp of Saul at the jeopardy of his own life. He went with David and he bought the spear and the water bottle. So David had close knit together friends. But to the saints that are in the earth, if you read the book of 1 John, we find one of the ways in which a man can know whether he or she is truly saved by their love towards the fellow believers. Often we don't do this enough. Well, there are friends, but our love towards the brethren is very, very important, extremely important. But notice here, he says, but the saints that are in the earth. Then he says, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. And he said, not only I love them, I delight in having them being around. What a precious thought that it is. Then he says, not only he remembered who God is, the fellow believers, then he said, Lord, I live among the heathen people, but my focus is upon you and you alone. Notice this. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Lord, he was living among the Moabites and the Phoenicians, but he said, they worship idols, but I have nothing to do with their idols. I will not even sit with them and talk to them. He says, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Friends, in India, the heathen people, they have 33 million gods and goddesses. 33 million gods and goddesses. Anything crossing the path is a god for them. They bow down those idols and worship. The Bible tells us, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They become fools. Now, David made a tremendous resolution here and said, their sorrow shall be multiplied. Matthew Henry tells this way, he who multiplies gods multiplying sorrows. He who multiplies God's multiplying sorrows. How true that is. You look at those heathen, 1.3 billion people in India. You look at their face, no joy, no happiness. They can claim and say, we have 33 million gods and goddesses. Are they happy? No. It says, the Bible says, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Then he says, their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. In your sorrows, in your difficulties, remember who God is. Number 2, notice verse 5. Now David says, David is rehearsing or thinking through what God is doing for him. It's amazing. He says, the Lord, again Yahweh, is the portion of my inheritance. The Israelites, they were all the 12 tribes, they were getting their portion. But now David is telling, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. What a wonderful thing. The day you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and God, you got an inheritance, eternal, preserved in heaven forever and ever. That's your inheritance. God himself is your inheritance. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is preparing that mansion for you. What an inheritance God has given to his people. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, thank God we have that eternal inheritance forever and ever and ever. The heathen, they cannot say they have an inheritance. Now he says, not only the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, the Lord is also, he is his provision. The cup speaks about the provision. Think about all the wonderful provisions that you and I, we enjoy. The good measure of health, the good job, the good food to eat, and all the things God has blessed us with. You and I, we have been blessed with the heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. That's the portion of a child of God. Then he says, thou maintainest my lot. He is not talking about a real estate. If the circumstances of life, once David was anointed to be the king, immediately did not take place, he had to wait about 8 to 9 years. David might have thought, when am I going to be a king? I have been anointed. When am I going to sit on the throne? Oh, he says, the Lord orchestrated all the circumstances. Is it not an amazing and wonderful thing for you to think tonight? The Lord maintains my lot. If you're a child of God, you could say along with the psalmist, oh Lord God, thank you for maintaining my lot, my circumstances. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going through these difficulties. Where is the end? How am I going to face it? But David was in a great difficult situation. But he said, Lord, thank you for maintaining my lot, my circumstances. Everything we go through, he knows it. He's an all-knowing God. Sometimes we focus upon the negatives, but David is thinking about the positive things. Lord, you are maintaining my lot. Then he says, the third thing he says, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. What an amazing truth that it is. You and I, we could say along with the psalmist, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Think where you are today. What all the circumstances you underwent in life. Today God has brought to a place where you trusted in him for salvation. You are a child of God. God has given you a family. God has given you children. God had given you a job, a good church to attend. This is what it means. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Friends, no room to complain. We can say, thank you, Lord. You worked wonders in my life. Therefore, I am today here. That's what exactly the psalmist said. The fourth thing he said, therefore, he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. The best counsel you and I we can receive is from the Word of God. When I got saved in 1967, I started to read. You know, friends, reading God's Word is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I met an 80-year-old lady in the last trip. And I started to talk to her. As I was talking to her, she told me this. Once in 21 days, she finished reading God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Once in 21 days, she completely reads from Genesis to Revelation. I thought, no, let me try how many days it takes for me to read. It took 26 days to read from Genesis to Revelation. It won't take much time. But the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. When I got saved, as I start to read, the Lord gave me a tremendous promise from God's Word, from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. You want counsel in your difficulties, in your distress? Ask of God, Lord, I don't know. Let us be like Jehoshaphat who said, Lord, he heard the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were there at the door. What did he do? He called the people and said, let us fast and pray. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you need to turn to that place. As soon as he heard the Ammonites and the Moabites, they are there at the door. What did he do? He called the people and said, let us fast and pray. Having prayed, this is what he said. In the 12th verse of chapter 20, he said, Lord, we have no might. We have no power to stand against this great company which comes against us. But what? But our eyes are upon you. In other words, he said, Lord, I don't know what to do. You counsel me what I'm supposed to do. I'm scared. The Ammonites and the Moabites, they are there to fight with us. I don't have an army to go on, stand against those people. You read the rest of the chapter, you find how God Almighty blessed. How he destroyed the army of the Ammonites and the Moabites. The best counsel. Ask of God. Ask of God. Before you consult with someone else, ask God, Lord, what shall I do? He will direct your path. And I have seen many, many, many times in my own life. Never forget, never cease to ask God, Lord, I don't know what to do. But he will guide you. He will give you the right counsel. Then he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Look at his confidence. I set the Lord always before me. May this be our testimony. This reminds me the words where it says, give him the most important place. Trust in him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. He said, therefore, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If the Lord is at your right hand, there is no reason for us to be moved. At times we may think, well, it is too heavy for me, too hard for me. Nobody is going to help me. But the Lord said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." Believe it what God said. Our problem is this. All these things are given in God's word. We are not willing to appropriate. We are not willing to accept it. In theory, yes, we know God cares for us. Experience who God is. Then he says, number one, in your distress, remember who God is. He is the great Elohim. The Yahweh, the Adonai, rehearsed these things just like David. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He maintains my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. And he is at my right hand. He gives me counsel. Ask of him. Now, it does not stop there. It's a wonderful and unique way to see what how he closes this particular psalm. He said, therefore, that word therefore is very, very important. In the light of all these things, who God is, what he is doing for me, now he says, therefore, my heart is glad. Is your heart glad today? We need to ask, why am I not glad? Because we don't appropriate or apply the truth, what we see in God's word in our own life. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You and I, we can rest in hope. Why? Because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. He truly believed the resurrection, his own resurrection, and also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to see corruption. How did David know these things? That's why we believe the inspiration of God's word. Verbal plenary inspiration. Every word is inspired. It is God's word. Today, because of the New Testament, we know about resurrection, we know about the rapture and other things. But how did David know all these things? The Holy Spirit of God revealed to him and said, this is what David, this is what you are going to have. When it is all said and done, you will be resurrected. Think about that. Then he says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. If you are a born-again Christian, you can be rest assured that your soul will not be in hell. The moment you breathe your last breath, you will be assured into the very presence of God. What an awesome, wonderful thought that it is. The heathen, they don't have any hope of eternal life. They think everything is going to be over when they die. But the word of the Lord gives us tremendous hope. It says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Right there, he believed his own resurrection and also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing, is it not? This is one of the reasons why it is the word of God. He can be rest assured. This is God's word. The Bible tells us it is settled in heaven forever and ever. Then he says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. A day is going to come. All the saints of all times, they will be gathered in the very presence of God, worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all eternity. In thy presence, there is fullness of joy. Friends, we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited. Because the future, the best is yet to come. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. Are you going through difficult times? Trust in him. I have some three takeaway points I would like to give it to you this. These are the three takeaway points for you. If you are going through difficult times, think who God is. Think who God is. And remember or rehearse what he is doing for you right now. He maintains your Lord. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. He gives you counsel. He is your confidence because he is at your right side. Think about what God will do for you. David was going through a difficult time. Can you imagine it to hunt or to kill David? Saul mobilized an army of 3,000 people to capture one man. He escaped. God helped him to go away from that place. That's why the psalmist said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. May God's word encourage us. It is God's word. It gives us life. We can truly rejoice when we read and meditate upon God's word. May God meet your needs, whatever may be. You all have needs, and I have need. But David was going through difficult times, but he truly trusted in him and said, Lord, you are my Elohim. You are my Yahweh. You are my Adonai. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Continue to speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless you. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. It's a solid Bible message we heard tonight. We give the Lord the praise for it. As they begin to play through softly, maybe you came in here with a heavy heart tonight. Never want to let a service come and go without giving the lost an opportunity to come and trust Christ. Maybe you're saved and your heart is heavy. You're going through trouble. And God's used this message to remember who he is, to rehearse what he's doing, and to rejoice in what he will do. It's a great message. If the Lord has spoken to you and you want to respond, now's your time. You come right ahead, please. You may look this way. Thank you, Dr. Cherry, and God bless you. Appreciate the message. I want you to pray with us that the Lord will give us wisdom with this money that's been given to us to spend in India. We've talked to Dr. Cherry about this, that the Lord will give us wisdom with how far he'd have us to go, and give Dr. Cherry wisdom in all of this. I like partnering with a man like this, don't you? And praise the Lord for it. If you'll take out your prayer sheet, tonight is Sunday school-led prayer meeting. In just a moment, we'll be dividing up into our Sunday school classes. The teenagers will go to the foundations class over in the gymnasium. The home builders and foundations class will combine in the home builders class, okay? So I'll make special note of that. That'll be a good thing. I hope you'll keep this prayer sheet and be praying through these things this week. You can notice these special things. I will not take time to read all this. I do want to give you a couple of special prayer requests. If in the prayer request section, if you'll write these things down, or if you have a good memory, then you don't have to write it down, okay? The first one is we are praying for Brother Dallas Crum and his daughter-in-law. This is Donna, and she is not doing well, I understand. And she's close to the point of death. Is what I'm understanding. Is that correct? Okay. So she's in Maryland. Correct, Brother Dallas? Yes, up in Maryland. Pray for her. Pray for the family. This is Donna Crum. This is Brother Dallas's daughter-in-law. And we're praying for her. I remind you of the 6 prayer requests that I shared with you on Sunday night for our church family to come together and pray about. And I just remind you about the one that was sent out today, okay? That's the 3rd one, and that is that our church will truly be a church that lives by this motto up here. That we are a church that has a heart for God. You know, that settles everything else right there. That we're a church that truly is a home for you, and no matter who you are, the you around this area, they should find a home here. And then a church that spreads here that truly has a hope for all, that gets the gospel around the world. That's the specific prayer request for today. Okay? I want to pray with you here, and then we'll be dismissed to go to our Sunday school-led prayer meetings. Father, would you bless this, seal this message in our heart, and may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You got about 20 minutes or so, okay? So help yourself. God bless you. Thank you.